Let's just bow our heads. Father, without you, we can accomplish a lot, but it doesn't actually do too much for us. So I'm asking for your anointing tonight so that we can go forward in obedience. And we give you the praise for your plan to unfold on every level, spirit, soul, and body. Amen?
Amen.
The scripture I heard today was Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, I can do abundantly more than I can ask or think. And the other one is Galatians 3:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you hadn't gotten to that part, I would like you to go there, because that's where we're going to kind of push in to get a glimpse as to what God wants so that we'll understand his plan and his way. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. How many know crucifixion is painful? Thank you. And I was sharing with the people earlier that my mom, being in a nursing home for the first time, it's 3 weeks Friday that she had her surgery, or Saturday rather, and time is now getting quite lengthy and difficult for her. And so this morning when I went to visit, she had just finished therapy, and of course her leg was sore and her hip was quite in pain, etc. And she's 93 years old. I would have never chosen this path for her. I just wouldn't have done that. So there's so much for the kingdom of Kim. But God decided to do this because there's a reason. But we don't always understand it. So she was having a hard time. The pain was bad. We asked for pain pills, etc. We got those. And then we began to talk about her challenge. And it's a difficult one. She doesn't like where she is. Yesterday she had to wait an hour and a half to go to the toilet, and by the time they came it was too late, and she was very distraught and not happy. And she has her faculties are sharper than probably mine are. But the bottom line that I looked at her and I said, Mom, we need to pray. And of course she didn't feel like praying right away. But I reminded her that St. Paul was in prison, and it was for the glory of God. And while he was in prison, he had been foretold by one of the prophets, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get into a mess. You're going to get tied up, and you're going to get probably into jail, and we don't want you to go because we want you to be with us, showing you that even back in the book of Acts, they were selfish. They wanted it their way. But St. Paul says, I'm compelled. Now, have you ever been compelled to do something that you know you're going to get in trouble for doing it? Well, that's what I told Mom. I says, he landed in jail. He had chains. And I said, he ministered to all the jailers. He ministered to the police people of that day. He ministered to the ones that were drawn to him. And he ministered salvation to the servants of Caesar's palace. So much for what we think we should be as kings and priests. Those chains, he began to tell Timothy, I thank God for my chains. So I said, Mom, we're going to thank God for your wheelchair. Well, if you think that went over like a lead balloon, I think if she would have had a little stick, she might have tried it out on me like she used to when she was ready to fix my wagon. If I misbehaved, I didn't get any beating, so I'm kind of facetious there. But the bottom line I'm trying to tell you is, she wasn't happy with that word, but we prayed. And we agreed that God had a plan that was bigger than her and bigger than me. And I says, you could be the only light at the end of this nursing home, praying for these that don't have a clue about Jesus. And her first response, I knew what was going through her mind. How many know sometimes you can tell somebody's mind is saying, who the heck wants to pray for these people because they're a bunch of you-know-whats? But she didn't. And I said, Mom, we're going to pray. And as we began to pray, she started to giggle. And I said, what about, you know, the nurses that had to pick up all this mess? And how about the ones that probably don't get paid enough for what they do? I don't know how many people they have to take care of, but it's an awful lot. And some of them are very difficult. And I've learned yesterday that she's one of the oldest ones in that whole section. There's, I don't know how many on that one area. And she's the least amount of trouble. And she reminded me after we prayed that the nurse told her not to worry, that she knew how difficult it was. But it's like everything else. You know, you've got one baby. If you've got 3-4 twins, or 3-4 sets of twins, and they're all crying at the same time, and you've only got two hands, and 2 or 3 bottles ain't going to do it. They can't feed themselves, so you have to take turns, and one of them's going to be crying. Please say amen. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. He's not living on his own. He's living by faith in the Son of God, who's alive in him. Now, how do you take faith to sit in the chair that you're in? After all, it's only got 4 legs. But you do have that faith because you all sat down. So you can't say you don't have faith. Natural faith and spiritual faith are very based on the unknown. Can that rickety old chair hold me? Can this wheelchair be a gift for me? Can it be a gift for me? And that was my question to her. I said, look it. My wife's girlfriend, less than 2 years ago, had 2 surgeries and the leg was removed on 2 separate occasions. It got infected later on. She's dead now. She died at 70. What does that say? I said, Mom, you've had 23-year bonus. Let's rejoice that you're still here. That this wheelchair is not a problem, it's a gift. So now she says to me, well, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, okay, we'll push the buzzer. Well, of course, she didn't have a great deal of patience, so she decided that she's going to wheel herself out of that little corner. And, of course, she was ready to bump into a wall, which, obviously, she readjusted. And it took her 4 times, just like parking, parallel parking that you've never done. You know, how you back up and, oops, I didn't do it right. And, oops, I didn't do it right. And, oops, again. And so, and I wanted to help her, and I kept hearing in my heart, leave her be. Let her do it. What was I doing? I was trusting her ability to do what God was pressing her to do. She needed to move. She needed to have some activity. She needed to push on those wheels to do something for herself. All right? And as she did, there was a new freedom and a smile on her face. And she came through victory. And, of course, then the nurse showed up and pulled the leg things off and blah, 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 and the rest is history. But the bottom line that I'm trying to make you aware of is all of us have different wheelchairs. Because we all have limitations. And sometimes we have to wait for somebody else to push us around to get to the destination that we need to go. But we want to do it on our own. Come on, please. All right. Paul was in what? Prison. For doing what? For declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why he was there. I said to Mom, do you realize you're the light in this big, big corner? You're the one that has the Lord. You're the one that's praying in the Holy Ghost while you're in that room where the therapy is done. You're the one that lights up that dining room when you're sitting at your table with your wheelchair, thanking God for the food that maybe others haven't got a clue of. You're the one that's here because God has put you here. She says, "Do I have to like it?" And I teased her back and I said, "No, you don't have to like it. Close your eyes. Say, I have been crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ.
I no longer live.
I no longer live.
But Christ lives in me.
The life that I live.
In the body.
I live by faith.
In the Son of God,
who loved me
and gave himself for me." Look at your neighbor. Say, "You live
right now
because you have been crucified with me. It's no longer you that lives. Maybe I'm the chosen vessel to help you push that wheelchair you're in. Because you're limited. On your own, you can't do it. But I'm here right now.
And willing
to give you a push. To get you to where you need to go. And I love you enough
to set you free
from all the fears that would bind you. That would try to hold you. That would try to destroy you. And like St. Paul,
I'm glad
right now
that we can do this together.
To come out of the bondage,
to come out of the fear,
and to come out of the torment.
Because Christ Jesus
is right inside my heart.
And we're going forward
by faith in him.
Because he's the Son of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't want you to go home with the wheelchair. I want you to leave it here. But I'm trying to tell you something. I want to back up just a little bit. Verse 15. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So it's by faith that I'm going to become righteous as I declare my righteousness in him. And take what he did for me. And receive it by choice. When he died on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't really have an inside relationship, a knowledge." He wasn't talking about they don't know the word. He was talking about relationship. They don't know you, Father. They haven't got a clue. And this was the plan you had for me. And my words to Mom, before I left and gave her a kiss, I said, "Mom, someday you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? I learned a lot." I said, "Why would God choose that you at 93 had to learn these lessons?" "I don't know. I'm not him. But what you're learning, you will live later to give to others, even as you partake of those that are around you right now and intercede for the nurses that are late. Intercede for those that maybe can't make it on time. Intercede for those that have a greater hurt than you. Because I'll be honest with you, some of them don't even have their minds. They can't function. But God has decided to put a lamp in that one little room that lights up the hallways. And it lights up that section for God's purpose. For God's purpose. We're not all about us. It's all about Him. Close your eyes. Father, I don't know how you're going to use this message to bring new life. And those who listen to this message on the internet, Lord, let it bring them a ray of hope. Because you've chosen to put this word across tonight so that it's going to be an act of their faith, just like it is for us, to go forward in obedience. Because of God's grace and His mercy, we believe that you're going to use every difficulty in our lives for your glory. Because that's what we are. We are overcomers. You can't overcome something unless you've got something to overcome. Keep your eyes closed. Say, "Lord Jesus, I am an overcomer by faith. It's not something that I feel good about, but it is a truth. I am overcoming everything that is trying to pull me down. In Jesus' name, I'm choosing to believe that this overcomer will be able to help others down the road to overcome by love. Not by judgment. Not by criticalness. But by perfect love. Which casts out all fear." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now you have one more commission. Love one another as He has loved you. Amen.